Do we have any prayer requests? Okay, now let's hold the Methodist Church up. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Betty Nunley and the congregation that has sided with her in her efforts to bring her congregation out of this mess that the Methodist Church has chosen to divulge in. Father, we ask you to hold them strong and hold her up in your hands. And Father, that she'll be guided by your Holy Spirit and that every step she takes will be led by the Lord. And Father, especially during this stressful time, hold her strength up. Keep her strong. Keep her diligent. And keep her sharp. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think it's a 2-week process. So, which...
You're telling me that the corporate Methodist Church wants to even take their property?
Yeah, they
can. Well, they can't.
It's got a high-powered motor and
The corporate Methodist Church didn't pay for their buildings, so. They didn't even pay for the old one. That was. Oh. Yeah, the new one they own flat out. Well, even though you still got to stand up and fight, you still have to stand up for what's right. God will take care of the rest. You know, and it's not just the Methodist Church. Every single denomination, even the Word of Faith group, is going to have a cleansing. And it's going to be drastic. And I imagine maybe the Word of Faith group might take as hard a hit as anybody. Because there's some real radical stuff going on in that circle. I'm just telling you, buckle your shoes. Jesus is coming. And things are going to get set right. You know, we talked about that in the book of Revelations, where he was taking the Jews that aren't Jews. He's going to take those out. But also there's Christians that aren't Christians. They're churchgoers that are not Christians. Which could be the sorting of the chaff from the wheat. You know, there's a lot of things happening right now before our eyes, and a lot of people just don't realize what's going on. But the whole thing is going to get cleaned up. Now, let's get back to our study on covenants. We just started this is going to take a while to get through this. But we started talking about covenants last Wednesday, and I want to look at James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now that right there is a good picture of a covenant-minded man. He's not unstable. He's single-minded, and he knows who God is. He knows what God is. He knows what God said He would do, He would do. Now, Glenn Smith told me, when I was in Bible school, said, watch out for weddings and funerals. Just watch out for weddings and funerals. So, when I was in Bible school, this guy asked me if I would do his wedding. I said, well, yeah, sure. We were right there in Midland while I ended up moving to Wyoming. He called me and he said, you still going to do my wedding? I said, yeah. I gave you my word. I'm going to do your wedding. So I jump in my pickup in Wyoming, drive down to Midland to do a wedding. Everybody up there said, are you absolutely crazy? Are you out of your mind? I said, well, no, I said I would do his wedding. So whether I'm in Wyoming or Texas, my word is still out there. Well, God made things work for me, made them work really well. So you'd think that I would learn my lesson. So I'm in Wyoming. Somebody asked me if I'd do their wedding. I said, well, sure, I'll do your wedding. When we moved to Texas. They called me up and said, you still going to do our wedding? I said, yes, I gave you my word. I'm going to do your wedding. So we jump in our pickup. We go to Wyoming. And God made things work out really well for us. Here's the thing. When you're covenant-minded and you make a deal, you're going to see that deal through. And this is one of the... This is a subject that I deal with all the time in my business. I tell people, I said, I give you a choice. I'll make a hard bid or I'll do it by the hour. It'll be a lot cheaper for you if I do it by the hour. They say, why? Because I'm going to go a little bit high just to make sure I have some insurance on my hard bid. And they say, well, why do you do that? And I say, well, when something goes wrong, I'm still going to keep my word and do the job. Even if it costs me out of my own pocket, I'm still going to do the job. I've learned not everybody is covenant-minded. And even if I go $2,000 or $3,000 over budget, they're not going to help me cover that. See, the good old boy deal only goes one way. So I've learned. But that's part of being covenant-minded. When you say, okay, this is the way it's going to be, then it better be that way. And this is one thing that happens to people. And then people wonder why they have such a hard time receiving things from God. Because people's word is not necessarily yay. It's not necessarily yes or no. You know, they may say yes and then they change their mind. They're double-minded. So if they're double-minded in themselves, they're going to be double-minded in the things of God. But if you get red hot and you decide you're going to back your word regardless of what happens, that's going to help you have a much more firmer relationship in understanding the things of God. You know, it's kind of a thing with people. They tend to relate God to the things in the natural, which they shouldn't do, but they do. So if they're kind of second-guessing themselves or dealing double-handed, they kind of expect God to be that way too. And He's just not. He's right 100% of the time. He will do what he said he would do. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That was a hard lesson I had to learn. But Glenn warned me. He said, be careful of funerals and weddings. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now, being without a covenant, did you know that even a born-again man who does not know or act on his covenant is without God's power in this world? See, just because you get born again doesn't mean that you're going to automatically start operating in the blessings of God. See, if you don't know what's in this covenant, you're not going to operate in it. And if you get told false information about this covenant, you're surely not going to operate in it. In fact, you may resist it. And if you sit under that teaching long enough, you'll fight it. You know, there are people that will go absolutely stone cold in a conversation if you mention the baptism of the Holy Spirit to them. That'll be the end of the conversation. If you mention anything about speaking in tongues, they're done. Because they've been taught false information about this covenant. But it's also our responsibility to pick this thing up and read it for ourselves. I am so thankful that God impressed me enough to read the New Testament several times before I started hanging around in church. I didn't quite understand why, but after I hung around church for a while, then I understood all of a sudden. For some reason, he got that word in me. Then I had the witness of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit had something to work with. He could tell me yes or no. He could tell me this is not right. When you know the word for yourself, when you know the truth for yourself, Jesus said you would know the truth and truth would make you free. When you know the truth for yourself, it makes it a lot harder for anybody to pass off a false doctrine on you. However, people are pretty impressionable, and if they don't know the truth, they'll buy into almost anything. That's a shame. They'll be waiting for the next cool thing. Somebody can come by and tell them something really good, and the worst thing I ever heard of was somebody would say, we went to a meeting and you should have felt the goosebumps. They're going by a feeling instead of by the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know something? You can go into Mardell's. No, not Mardell's. What's the other bookstore in Midland? Great big bookstore. Mardell's is all the Christian books. That's all Christian stuff. There's another one down there. And they'll have Christian books. And you can walk down, and then they'll have satanic books right next to it. What's it? Barnes and Noble, yeah. And actually, Glenn told me to do this. He said, you go down to Barnes and Noble, and you go to that Christian bookstore, and you walk down that Christian aisle, and then you tell me what happened. Well, I'm walking down that Christian aisle, and I got down all of a sudden, I just got a really bad feeling, and I had goosebumps come up on me. The hair stood up on the back of my head, and I looked, and there were some satanic books right there. And I thought, okay. But here's the thing. We need to be led by the Word of God and not by feelings. You know, Satan can make people feel good too. You know that? We're not to be led by what we see, feel, touch, smell, taste, hear. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit of God who's on the inside of us. And it'll take a little bit of practice. But you can't get there. But one thing about these covenants is it's based on the word of faith. One thing I noticed about Abraham, the Bible says that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And actually they call him like the father of faith. He believed God for his righteousness. He didn't work to earn it. He believed it. That's the word of faith. Now let's look over here to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now that was Jesus talking. And notice he said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God," by the word of God. That's going to draw you into this understanding of covenants. When you start living by the word of God, when you start living, understanding these covenants, you're going to start understanding faith and not works. One thing that you'll notice about covenants is it's going to point you to Jesus. You'll notice how these different covenants that somebody was blessed because somebody else did something. Amen. Now let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Right there, he's telling us, you are righteous by faith because of what Jesus did. You believe on him. You know, the Bible tells us to believe on him. How do you do that? Have you ever wondered? Everybody says they believe on Jesus. They believe in Jesus. Well, what do you believe in him? That's going to be what matters. What do you believe in him? Do you believe in him as your healer? Do you believe in him as your righteousness, sanctification, holiness? I mean, you got to point out different things in him that you believe. Is he your protector, your provider, your shepherd? That's what it means to believe on him. Find these different things that he did in his death, burial, and his resurrection, and focus on those things. Then you're believing on him. You're believing on what he did for you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, talks about the word of righteousness. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, I ran into babes in Christ that have been sitting in church for 30 and 40 years. And they're literally babes in Christ. Shout hallelujah every Sunday. Praise God. But haven't done the first thing to start living by faith and walking by faith. And then they get mad when their prayers don't get answered. But somebody who's brand new comes in, just got born again, and he's still wet from the baptismal, and he's getting prayers answered all over the place. All he's doing, he's just believing God. You know, Jesus said to have, literally, we're supposed to have a childlike faith. You know, and sometimes it's hard for people. If they had a mean dad or a mean mom, it's hard for them to understand a childlike faith. But just imagine being a little kid and it's Christmas time and you're not worried. You just know that when you wake up on Christmas morning, there's going to be presents all over the place. You just know that it's going to be taken care of. That's people that have confidence in their dad. And they understand that he's going to make things right. Sometimes the people that I've had the hardest time trying to get them to have a childlike faith are the people that had real abusive parents. They have a really, really, really super hard time trusting anybody. And unfortunately, that equates to having a trust for God, too. But once we understand that we can have confidence in God, and in fact, the Bible tells us that Abraham became fully persuaded. You know, it took a long time for him to meditate on some stuff. It took him a long time to receive Isaac. And he had to meditate on that for a long time. You know, in fact, he kind of had to make himself look a little bit foolish because he had to call himself the father of many nations, even though he hadn't had any kids. And then he decided to help God. And he came up with Ishmael. And that didn't work. And it's still not working. But he kept on believing God. And then finally he got Isaac. See, Abraham didn't do everything perfectly, did he? That's good news for us because we can still be blessed even when we make mistakes. Because after all, this covenant that we got put into, our covenant head is Jesus, and he's the only one that could walk the walk and talk the talk. And we got placed into him when we got born again. Thank God. You don't have to be perfect. Look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 8. In little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And then down to verse 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Notice that word, heritage. When you got born again, you fell heir to the things that Abraham had. You basically went up to the covenant head and said, yes, I want to be a part of this covenant. And now, part of your heritage is all these blessings. One of the number one blessings that we have is the forgiveness of sins. And thank God that He's not keeping track of them. You know, I had some really terrible ideas about God. You know, I thought maybe he was keeping track of every mistake I made. And, you know, any time I could get taken out. You know, I just had a mixed up understanding of who God was. And it took a while. I was born again. But it took a while to find out who He really is. You know, for a long time, I thought I was just born again just enough to get to heaven. But anything else was just, I was just going to have to grind it out. You know, if I needed healing, I was just going to have to grind it out. If I needed finances, I was just going to have to just get by. That is a terrible picture of God. He's a loving, merciful, good shepherd, and He takes care of us, and He wants to help us. He just needs a little bit of cooperation from us. Now, everything that is by faith is by the Word. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You know, you're not going to separate faith from the Word. You're not going to separate the Word from faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, do you suppose that's why God told Joshua to meditate on His Word day and night? To keep hearing Himself say that word over and over and over again. It builds faith in His heart. When we hear ourselves say the word over and over and over again, it builds faith in our heart. When we hear the word of faith, now this is important now. It's really hard to get this through people's head. What you're listening to is what you're feeding on. And I'm going to just tell you this. That if you're listening to junk at church, don't expect faith to happen in your heart. I had a lady come to me one time. And she had a list of all these things her preacher told her she had to do to get into agreement with him so that they could pray and they could receive a miracle. And it was a whole bunch of works. And I said, what are you doing? Said, well, that's where all my friends are. I don't really believe all that. And I said, it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's what you're listening to. And that's why you're having a struggle. Did you know you're going to have a really, really, really hard time receiving healing in your body if you don't ever hear about Jesus the healer? You're going to have a really, really, really hard time receiving finances from God if you don't ever hear Jesus your provider? You're going to have a really, really hard time standing up to the devil if you don't ever hear Jesus your protector? One guy got mad at me one time. He was mad. And he said, I believe we'll get healed when we get to heaven. Yeah, I believe it's part of salvation, but it's when we get to heaven. I said, you don't need healing in heaven. And he said, well, that's the way I believe. I said, well, don't worry about it. You're not going to receive anything you don't believe in. Quit wasting my time. I don't, you know, it's on them. If they don't want to receive the word of faith, you can't force it on them. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That should tell people something. You know, the Bible does tell us that the just shall live by faith. And it's real important to not do things out of religious habit, but do it by faith. Whatever you do, do it by faith. Release your faith in it and receive the blessings that are in it. There's a lot of rituals that a lot of different churches go through that are actually pretty good. If you would stop and really look at it and break it down and receive the things in there by faith. You know, some of those, I don't know what they call them, but in some of those hymnals, you know, they have some deals written in there. Those are really, really cool. If the Methodist Church would read some of those things once in a while, maybe they wouldn't be in the mess they're in. But unfortunately, people want to change the word to fit their lifestyle. That won't work. Look at Psalm chapter 89, verse 34, and we'll stop with this one. Psalms chapter 89, verse 34. It says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. God will not break his covenant, and he is not going to change his word. What he said, he meant. And what he meant, he said. And he doesn't need a theologian trying to make up his mind what it is he really said. See, this is one of the challenges with the modern day church. They want to read what they believe. So there's pages and chapters that they skip over because they don't believe that. They only read what they believe. But the key to understanding God is to believe what you read. That's going to that's going to change things. That's going to force you to sit there and look at certain things and ponder them and wonder how. I spent a lot of time wondering how. And I told God, I said, or I told the Holy Spirit, I said, I don't understand this. Will you show me what this means? And then meditate on it. That word righteousness, I ran from that word. I didn't want anything to do with that word. And no wonder the devil spent so much time muddying that word up. You know, I heard that word way before I ever went to church. I heard that word in the bar, and it wasn't good. Once I finally found out what that word really meant, that's life-changing. That changes everything that you understand about God. Everything you've ever been taught, it changes everything. Now it's no longer about dress code. It's no longer about right doing. What it is right believing, and it's believing on Jesus that He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did. All you had to do is just believe it. The same way Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. We believe God, it's accounted to us for righteousness. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you that because of the covenant you made and put Jesus as the head of our covenant, that we're 100% qualified to receive the blessings of this covenant because of the shed blood of Jesus. We praise you for this. And Father, we send up a special thank you for the rain that we received. And we humbly ask you for some more. In Jesus' name, amen.